Wow, sorry, the conversation just died.
What else do you want to know? Oh my God, that was so awkward and weird. There's like five of us, and there was a dead silence. Where
that happens. This is how the sausage is made. This never makes the air.
Ah, okay.
Although
that's
right. He'll probably put it in now that I've said that.
No, no, no.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are, but we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Since the beginning, her book has been my Bible. Opening Up is the one book I tell everybody considering non-monogamy that they must read. And since getting to know her name and experiencing her wealth of sex education and ethically produced porn, we've all fallen in love with Tristan Taramino and are thrilled that she has joined us on the Swing Set once again. I'm Cooper, and tonight with me I have...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, it's Dylan.
This is Shira B. Katz.
And of course, Tristan Taramino. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. How
Thanks for that introduction. Working? That was very sweet. That was very, very sweet.
I just call it as it is.
Thank
you. We are
you.
All very fond of Tristan Taramino here.
Thank you. Thank you.
So before we get going, does anybody have any business?
I may have an update.
I have an update too, so if you want to go ahead first.
Okay. There's not a whole lot. I just want to just put out there that the PhD continues to be in my life, and he's pretty fantastic. But I have yet to arrange a date with Prof and the PhD and me all in the same place at the same time. Ooh. So I find it wildly appropriate that Tristan is here, because I always laugh about the time management aspect of managing all these awesome relationships. And I'm just at that place where I'm looking at my calendar and I have that one sad tear just slide down my face. Like, seriously, how many weekends go by before I can arrange a dinner with all three of us together? So, but he's still in my life and I still get to see him, but I'm really anxious to be sitting around at, you know, for a nice dinner with the three of us together, because I'm really excited about that.
Oh,
I'm
awesome.
So excited for you, Ginger.
Thank
how do you think it's going to go?
Oh, I think it's going to be awesome. They're both just, you know, I mean, Prof is Prof. He's amazing. And the PhD is just like such an awesome man. He's just so, I don't know, mature and just really like got his head on straight. And the whole sapiosexual thing just like blows my mind. I really think my brain may explode and ooze out my ears with both Prof and the PhD at the same table because they're so smart.
Ears will be leaking awesome sauce.
Yes, exactly. I think it's going to be awesome. And that's what that's where I am, is I'm anxious in the best way possible to make it happen because I want it to happen. I want to see what happens and want to see them interact and to see them know each other, which they don't really right now. So
have they gotten much chance to interact in general or not at all?
No, they haven't. Only we had a chance encounter, which is just crazy. You know, nothing like synchronicity to pull you all together, which was an interesting circumstance. It was great. It was easy and cool, but it wasn't substantive. And that was it. And so they know of each other in my life, obviously, and I talk about them both generously when I'm in the other's company. But in terms of the two of them interacting, I've not been able to enjoy that or observe that or let them have at it. So I'm just so excited for it to happen. I just really want it to happen.
Very cool.
Yeah.
At least it's a time management problem and not, say, a negotiation to try and make it happen, you know?
Right. Totally true, Dylan. It's just a matter of life circumstance. And it just gets to the point where you're like, really? Really? Another weekend goes by, but it's just our lives. And that's how it's working out. So I know it's going to happen. I'm doing my best to just open up all the possibilities, maybe a weekday, maybe, you know, who knows how it's going to happen. But I'm starting to get a little bit immature and pouty about it, and like wanting to put my foot down and be like, I want you two together. It's embarrassing, really. But I'm impatient to the max. So I need to make it happen.
We need to find that thing called time.
Yes, indeed.
I know it is elusive in Ginger world.
Yes, it is indeed. But I have faith. I know it's going to happen. And when it does, I can't wait to tell everybody all about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's my business.
I have a little bit of an update. It's been a while since we've recorded, in fact, because we recorded a whole bunch in a row. And then so it's been a few weeks. And in that time, there was that article I posted on NRE and how the Becketts hit a bit of a polyamorous turbulence. And we had some issues, mostly due to NRE. And so I was thrilled that we were able to get you, Tristan, on the show, because I hear that you just have all sorts of knowledge on NRE. And I know that from reading your book as well.
I'm an expert on NRE. I don't know about that, but I'll give it my best shot.
Well, so what happens is, you know, Marilyn has not had a lot of experience in relationships outside of our relationship. And so she and I have been exploring polyamory, and she's in a relationship with a couple. I'm in a relationship with a lovely woman, and she sort of got really, really caught up in it. And it's because really it's one of her first times of being able to experience romantic relationship outside of our relationship. And because of that, she started judging our relationship by the barometer of the new exciting relationship.
Always a mistake.
That's what I thought.
Always a mistake. Mm-hmm.
And so it caused some really intense friction for a little while. And, you know, I have the unfortunate cynicalness that looks at NRE and is like, yeah, that's exciting, but I know what you're doing. So in my relationships, I'm able to I probably repress NRE more than I should. I don't get to enjoy it as much because I'm looking at it like, well, I'm probably going to make a foolish decision here, so I better just pay attention to the reality of the situation. And whereas she was able to fly almost completely off the handle with this. So what happened is we halted both relationships. We spent a couple weeks, and see, it's been a long time since we've talked. We spent a couple weeks just reconnecting with each other. No conversations with the new relationships outside of specific times. So when we're home together at night, we're just the two of us. And then we had a relationship summit meeting with Marilyn's couple, Marilyn and myself, where we realized that the four of us were not communicating well because we were always communicating through Marilyn. And something always got lost in the translation, which would infuriate each other, you know. So one of the things we decided is whenever there's an issue that we need to address, we need to address it like that, the four of us face-to-face in a room. And the other thing I realized is I micromanage a lot. It's because I'm very concerned that she have a good time. So because of that, I go out of my way to make sure she's having a good time, which deprives her of figuring out how to make sure she herself has a good time. So that is my big takeaway, is that I really need to cut out that micromanaging. And
I love this idea of the relationship summit. It's so formal and yet so serious and important. I mean, mm-hmm. I like that idea, and I definitely think that, you know, playing telephone among a group of four people really is the worst thing that could happen.
Yes.
And it's sort of like it or not, you're in a relationship with these people that you're not in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. So if you can, let's sit down and talk it out face to face. I mean, I really applaud you for doing that. And also for taking this 2 weeks. You know, sometimes when I tell people, it sounds like things are really getting intense. Why don't you take a break from your other relationships just for a minute? They sort of panic mm-hmm. and say, I can't do that. So I'm glad that you guys, you know, could just take the space and that everyone wasn't like mad at you for doing that. And everyone said, okay, they're going to take some space. We're going to be grownups and let them have their space. And then you didn't use that time to process the other relationships, which right. of course we've all been guilty of doing, I'm sure. But I think part of this, you know, you nailed it when you said it's one of her very first experiences. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is that as we experience NRE more and more, we do learn to recognize it. I don't know that you're suppressing it per se, but the fact is you're recognizing it. And that's kind of half the battle. Half the battle is realizing that you're in this altered state.
Right.
And of course, it is an altered state. And you shouldn't be making, you know, important life decisions while you're in it. And you certainly shouldn't be neglecting your existing relationships. I mean, I think that's when NRE becomes a conflict, is when the people you're already involved with feel like you've left them.
Right. And then that was pretty much where we were hitting, is that there was definitely an imbalance in the romance department. And I recognized it for what it was. It's NRE, and I was waiting for it to move through, you know, because I realized that really the only thing you can do for NRE is wait till it's no longer new.
Right. And I think that amount of time can differ for people. Someone mm-hmm. asked me recently when I was teaching in Toronto, how long is NRE? And they wanted me to really nail it down in terms of weeks and months or years. And
I too would like you to go on record right now and tell us.
You have 8 days and 4 hours left of NRE. You
know? Yeah, exactly. I think it's different for every person. I think some people are able to sustain it longer, and it has to do with how much contact you have with the people or person. If you live in the same place, how much you see them, how much you talk to them. I think that the more familiar you become, the less the NRE has a hold over you, because there's a little bit of a reality check there.
Right.
But if there is this, you know, obstacles to you being together, that can also amp up the NRE in a big way. So if one of the partners doesn't want you to be with this new partner, the NRE is going to get sustained. If you live long distance, the NRE can be sustained. So I think it varies for people, but there is a sense that you simply do have to wait it out. But while you're waiting it out, the person who's in it needs to take some responsibility for not, you know, blowing up your relationship.
Right. I mean, and actually, you know, it took her a little while. And in fact, I kept trying to explain this to her, and she got really frustrated with me trying to tell her how she feels, which I can understand.
I've been insulted by that before, so I totally get that feeling.
So then I gave her this article I wrote on NRE, which was specifically about our situation. And reading that, it was like she suddenly got it.
Mm.
And then she was reading, because we've had a lot of people commenting about the similar situation. And so she was reading that, and one comment really resonated with her, that a partner knows, well, we're stuck with each other. So you can go out and have fun, but you're stuck with me here. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're always coming home here. So have as much fun as you want.
Right.
And that I think that really helped. One of the things we did, I remember similar situations when we started swinging. We had vague rules and we had undefined boundaries. And a big mistake was what caused us to really fill in our boundaries and figure it out. And then we've been able to grow much faster past it. So this has gotten us to the point where we're like, you know, when we're home hanging out together, don't be texting your significant others, you know.
Now, how does your micromanagement manifest itself? Can you give me a specific of how you're trying to micromanage her?
Well, I sort of realized it outside of this relationship situation, but I think it applies to a lot of things in our life. You know, we're coming to San Francisco to hang out with you and other fun people. And Dylan and I are coming. Marilyn and Tonya are staying home. So I kept telling Marilyn that she ought to find something to do, because she'd mentioned that she might feel lonely with me out of town. And unfortunately, a lot of our regular close friends are also out of town. So I kept telling her, you know, you should find something to do. You should talk to Tonya and set up something to do. And then I realized it's not my responsibility for her to have something to do. It's hers. And so me constantly doing that was taking away her having to sit down and think, what do I want to do? I want to do this. I'm going to go do this. So I do that in a lot of facets of our relationship. And a lot of it was trying to help her. I'm always interested in her finding something that makes her happy. So I've been guilty of, hey, you should call them, you know, even in her poly relationship. Hey, you should send. And I need to be hands off. I need to focus on my relationship. And I think that just not focusing so much on it will help me relax far more about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, but did she take responsibility for being kind of a nutcase?
Yes.
She did.
She has taken full responsibility, acknowledged it.
I mean, I'm calling her a nutcase, not because I think, Marilyn, you're a nutcase. I just think, you know, when we're in new relationship energy, that it is a sort of altered state, and we are a little bit crazy. We're a little bit out of our minds. Okay, so she took responsibility.
Yeah, we really are. And it's funny you say that, Tristan, because it seems like the whole swing set here has been like sniffing the NRE a little bit on the heavy side lately. So I think we may have all been a little bit, all of us having a little bit of the nutcase. So
I think what happened is Tristan was out there in California and she sensed a disturbance on the swing set and knew that she needed to be here.
Right.
And so that's why she's here.
Yeah, we've all wigged out a little bit in one form or another recently. So
yeah. Well, it's because we're all exploring poly, really.
Except yeah, and this is going to come up. To think that it's not going to come up is you know, naive, obviously.
Absolutely. So that's my update. And we are seeing our relationship, our external relationships for the first time this weekend. We both have dates, so we're getting back to it.
I just wanted to say I was very impressed that both your partner and Marilyn's partners were able to sit back and take it so well and kind of just give you guys the space you needed. Not that I don't expect that they would, and maybe I'm too easy to impress. Maybe that should be the expectation in this kind of situation, but It's kind of my fear that having to do that, even if there's a defined start and finish to when this might be, would, you know, kill a potential relationship, kind of upping the stakes of having to take some kind of break to work on your own things, you know? And so I think it's really nice that you guys found people that are able to respect that.
When I was really nervous because the girl I'm seeing has been monogamous traditionally, and I was worried that this is a big red drama flag. And she was fantastic. From the moment I said that we were having a little conflict, I may need, and she immediately is like, "Do you need me to step back?" So she has been supportive. She has been laid back about it. I'm very impressed. And Marilyn's partners, immediately when they saw a conflict was happening, they said, "Okay, we need to let you two focus on you." So they should.
Well, I think that's a gift. And I think, Dylan, I agree with you. That's how I want people to behave. But in my experience, it's not how they do behave. And they do sort of freak out when you say, "I need to take a break," even if they're not primary partners. And so it's nice that wasn't in the mix. I mean, there's so much going on here. If you were also trying to take care of these other partners' feelings about the break, that would just heap on more stuff.
So it's been a ride. And through it all, Tristan, I was listening to the audiobook of Opening Up.
Oh, very good. Very good. How is it? I have not heard it yet.
It is good, but why didn't you read it? I missed immediately hearing the introduction. It's like, oh, it's not Tristan.
Of course you did. So I'll just say that the publisher has the right to make decisions about the audiobook without consulting the author, not even once.
I see.
And it's totally within their rights to do that.
All right. Mm. Very diplomatic.
But I am going to tell you some exciting news, which is that that's never going to happen again. And I'm actually recording several of my books this summer. I am doing the narration and I'm doing the audiobook myself, which is
awesome.
Really exciting. So I'll be reading Dirty Stories and Anal Sex Tips myself, which really makes sense, don't you think?
Gosh, absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So...
Sorry for sidetracking you into an impromptu psychotherapy session about NRE in the Beckett household.
Oh, no, it happens all the time.
I actually have a very small update you guys might be interested
in. Give us.
So jumping off the topic of NRE, I think I may have just passed by that little NRE hump with the lady that both Tonya and I have a relationship with. I spent a really nice night with her last week, which ended up in a surprise foursome, which was my first foursome without Tonya, which was very cool. But what I wanted to mention was after that surprise foursome, we were kind of laying in bed together, and there was this moment where it stopped being, wow, I'm with this person and she's awesome, and... this is all really new, and it started being a, wow, I'm with this awesome person, and I actually trust her and feel familiar with her, and everything's good. And it felt different in that moment. And in that moment, she happened to be giving me a blowjob, and I happened to be just laying down, grinning like an idiot, like I tend to do. And she kind of looked up at me, and I said, "Have you ever stuck your fingers in a man before?" And she said, "Not in a long time, but once or twice." And so while I don't want to put all my anal hopes and dreams in her hands or anything like that, on the same token, I think that I may be able to start exploring things very slowly with her. So if things go great, great. And if they don't, well then, oh well.
Well,
it's something I've been looking for a long time, though.
Fantastic. I like that story. I like that story a lot. I mean, the anal sex, the blowjob, the comfort, the accidental foursome, it's all that all sounded great to me.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing was that there was this this moment before the accidental foursome where I kind of checked in with Tonya and I started talking to her on the phone like I needed to walk away and consult with her privately. And then I realized what I was doing and I just put her on speakerphone so that way, you know, our partner could hear, because it's like, well, what would I be talking with her alone for in this situation? So I mean, it was all good. It was all above board and it was a great time.
Cool.
That is such a good story. I'm so like grinning huge. I'm like, wee, more details. Maybe later.
More details. More details.
Dylan needs to start blogging, I think.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yes. So Swing Set listeners, if you would like Dylan to start blogging, start sending him emails. Dylan@lifeontheswingset.com. And insist that he actually write for our website.
I do enjoy writing lots of words.
just usually not in any specific order.
No.
Okay. So, Tristan, let's talk about The Ultimate Guide to Kink. This book is wild.
Oh, that is a great endorsement. Wow.
It is wild.
Okay, I'm going to put that on the next printing. This book is wild.
It is. And I have to say, before we get too deep into such awesomeness, Prof was reading this while we were in Desire. I'm actually holding our copy of it in my hands with Desire sand falling out onto my seat here. And it shaped my sexcation. Let's just put it that way. There were certain chapters I was not allowed to read, including the mindfuck chapter. And yeah, and it literally was a roller coaster ride of a sexcation, because he was inspired by chapter after chapter after chapter. So you can only imagine what my 7 days away was like. It was pretty fucking fantastic. So with all that said, I thank you heartily, and Prof says thank you as well for the inspiration.
That's a great endorsement. I mean, that, you know, it inspired all this great sex and play. I mean, there's really no better endorsement for a book.
Yeah, and it was, oh gosh, I have to stop. It was really, it was amazing. It was amazing, and it did. It was very inspiring, and, you know, I will say that I feel like Prof kind of has his head around things, and he was taken back to the basics. He was brought to the advanced level. He was kind of commenting to himself laying on the beach beds like, oh, that's really interesting. And of course I'd say, what? And he'd say, nothing. So it really was all over the place, and he really couldn't stop talking about it, and in the intellectual sense, and it was also inspiring in the erotic sense as well.
And it's beautiful. The illustrations in that book make me so happy. I love them.
Well, the illustrations are by queer artist Katie Diamond, who also was International Ms. Boot Black 2011, ooh, last year. She's an amazing, amazing illustrator. And, you know, the thing is, all those illustrations were custom done for the book. So she worked with individual authors, and in some cases they were quite complex, especially the bondage ones. I found them really complicated when I was like, right, wait, how many steps to this bondage tie are there? Because I'm not a bondage person. And she was phenomenal. I mean, I love her. She also edits a great magazine called Salacious, and I'm really happy with how the book turned out. I really am.
I love that the body types in the illustration are all really different. And specifically, I really like just the very first illustration, which was the anatomy cross-section of a woman's vagina. It is kind of refreshing to see that in such detail after seeing like years of those tampon anatomy things where there is no damn anatomy whatsoever. It's nice to see a nice illustration, a detailed illustration.
So that's Sarah Sloan's piece on vaginal fisting. And so, of course, we had to have a detailed illustration of the vagina because you're going to put your whole hand in there. I think the other thing I like, though, about the style is that it's both packed with information and it shows you everything, but it still has a kind of a playfulness to it. It's not very medicalized. It still feels like someone drew it by hand, and I can picture that hand on that pussy, and it pleases me.
And it's incredibly simple in the best way possible. It takes kind of a complex idea and series of actions and just boils it down into the basics and makes it very easy to just figure out what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, Tristan, is this your first book where you've opened it up to advice from other authors?
You know, that's a great question, because when I originally pitched this book to Cleus Press, often when you pitch a book, and again, I've worked with them for so many years, so this isn't necessarily true for them, but often when you pitch a book, publishers want to know, okay, what else is like this book? We need a frame of reference. So if you've ever seen those jokes about how people pitch movies where they say, you know, it's Poltergeist meets My Best Friend's Wedding or whatever. I don't know what that movie is, but you know what I mean.
I'd go see that movie.
Right. So it's the same in the book world. And when I pitched this, I thought, you know, this is kind of a new format, a nonfiction book that has a lot of how-to information on BDSM, but it's not written by a single author. That doesn't really exist out there. I mean, the closest thing I can think of is this book called Leather Folk, edited by Mark Thompson. There wasn't a lot of how-to in it. It was a lot more sort of history and philosophy. And it's it was a seminal book in the leather movement, but it was something, I think it's like 20 years old. But my thing was, instead of just hearing kind of my take on all aspects of BDSM and kink, why not invite the best kinky educators in North America to write about the topic that they're an expert in, that they're passionate about, and that they know probably way more than I do about. So it was a challenge because everyone has a different style, a different voice, a different way of writing, a different way of communicating. And so I didn't want it to be jarring for the reader when you go kind of from chapter to chapter. But at the same time, I wanted to really keep the integrity of each piece and each person's style, you know, intact in some way. And I wanted it to feel like you were going to classes at an event and all of these fabulous presenters were all at the same event. And it was like being in a class. So that was my goal.
What I really enjoyed about it is, when I pick up most books of that type, I feel like I'm supposed to read from start to finish. Because generally speaking, the ideas get more complex as you go. But what I liked about this is, since it was multiple authors and since it was all very different ideas, I was able to say, ah, interesting. I would like to read about this right now. I would like to read about this right now. And the chapters are long enough to be in depth, but short enough to read in a session. You can sit down and read it and feel like you've learned something, absorbed something, and then you can go move on with your day. I read both the fisting chapters, mainly because I hadn't really thought a whole lot about anal fisting until Peppermint told me that there was going to be a seminar at OpenSF. And it's...
Wait, there's a seminar on anal fisting and I'm not teaching it?
Tristan, I bet you could walk into any seminar you want and sit at the front of the class.
I'm kidding.
And then, so I read my other one because the girl I'm dating has actually requested that I fist her this weekend. So I thought it might be beneficial to read up. And so I love the way they're written. They are very friendly. It's very much as though you're sitting down with someone who's just telling you the information.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing too, is that, you know, I really fought hard for that second half of the book because the second half is really not how to. The second half is personal philosophies about why people are into certain things, what kind of fantasies turn them on, how they do them, what they get out of it. And I feel like we don't have enough of that writing. It's almost like it's really the advanced kind of 201 writing, which is, okay, I've been to 10 flogging classes, but now I want to know what it means to be a dominant or what it means to submit to a sadist or you know, whatever it is. I mean, I feel like those pieces are really, really powerful because they talk about some of the stuff that we don't talk about enough, I think, in the kink world. And they talk about it pretty unabashedly. I mean, I think that piece on sadism, I expected there to be some sort of war on FetLife, like the day the book came out about mm-hmm. that piece on sadism, because I think it's quite controversial. And he has a very specific point of view and not everyone agrees with him about it. So I was surprised that there wasn't an uproar / backlash. I guess there still can be if you all go, whoever's listening can go and read the sadism chapter.
and start their very own backlashes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or dialogue. I like to think of it as dialogue.
Sure. Sure. Well, Tristan, in that vein, reading Madison Young's personal manifesto, submissive personal manifesto, I was very grateful as much as I am obviously, you know, thirsty for all the knowledge you have to dish out, reading her words and her personal manifesto around submission, it was one of those experiences for me. And it is nice and comforting, I guess, to go to that place of peeking inside someone's brain and relating with someone through the written word in their experience. So like you said, there it's a vastly different perspective to write a how-to than it is to write a erotically emotional piece that shares what it feels like and what it does for you and how it feeds you to lean into your kink and let it become you. And I just was very grateful, particularly for those pieces. And it's interesting for me to hear that you had to fight for those pieces, because for me, reading those pieces was a defining part of reading your book.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think that when people are willing to tell their personal stories and to give you the details, and people who are quite self-aware and articulate about their kinks and about their desires, I think it's a revelation. I mean, those are the kinds of talks I like to go to now. It's very hard for me to go to a skills-based class at a kink event. I've got to tell you, I've been to them all. And so it's lost its interest for me. I either really like something and I've learned how to do it, or I'm not that into it. But to hear someone tell their story is really compelling to me. And it's fascinating to hear how people do their kink and why and what they get out of it. And I just want to say that, you know, Madison wrote that piece. She meant to have it done before she gave birth. And of course, you know, life got in the way of that. And then I thought, oh my God, she's now had a baby. She has a newborn. I'm never going to get this piece out of her. And I'm on deadline. So she yeah. wrote that piece within the first month of her baby being born, which is insane as it is. So I'm really thankful, because that piece almost slipped through my hands, and I'm so thankful that she did it, because it adds a lot to the book. I mean,
it really does. And I'm grateful she wrote it when she did, because it spoke to me that much more, because she was a mother. It's really, it's really incredible. It really is incredible.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Thank you.
Okay, Swing Set's got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Tristan Taramino on Life on the Swing Set, the podcast.
Hey there, Swing Set fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can mean the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. Do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1-2 sentence review. It'll take a few minutes, but it'll help us spread the word. If you're on a mobile device and want to listen to any of our episodes on demand, search for and download Stitcher, and our entire library will be available at your fingertips. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, Swing Set cast, crew, and listeners. This is Jim.
And Char from Char Travel. We are currently here in Sexy Desire Riviera Maya on one of our trips, and we are looking forward to having the Life from the Swing Set group here in November. Right here with us are some of the world-class and very sexy Desire Entertainment staff.
We have a dashing entertainment manager, Lazaro.
Hello. Hello to everyone. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Also, we have the bubbly entertainment assistant, made in Mexico, Diana.
Hi there. Remember me?
And the sweet and perky entertainment coordinator, imported from Canada, Vanessa.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to twist your nipples.
These guys get all the fun activities happening at Desire. In the afternoon at the beach and around the pool. In the evenings, they keep the energy up with the lobby bar and nightclub, all kinds of fun entertainment. So just say hi and tell listeners a little bit about what you do.
What we do here is to entertain all our guests in our unique concept of Desire during the day and at night. Totally a different experience, a very erotic experience.
And Vanessa is my volleyball partner most of the time.
That's right. I will blow you all. Thank you very much. I got my whistle and I know how to use it.
Diana does our pool games.
Okay, I'm going to make sure you have a lot of fun in a very particular and very sexual way.
So these guys will all be here when we do our trip in November. So we're looking for a whole lot of fun then. And we hope you all will join us. Say goodbye, everybody.
Thank you very much. We're waiting for you and being ready for us.
This is definitely the most sensual place on earth, and the Swing Set trip is going to be a fantastic experience. We still have rooms available, so give us a call, email us, or just go to chartravel.com and get in on all the fun. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Segways are overrated, so what is next for Tristan Taramino?
Well, I have some really exciting news that I have not shared with many people yet. By the time this airs, perhaps it will be public, but you're going to be some of the first people to know about this.
Awesome.
And that is that I am going to be hosting my own radio show on the Voice America Network.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
So my show is called Sex Out Loud. And it's an hour-long show. It airs live every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 7 p.m. for you guys because you're in the middle.
Well, some of us.
And it's live. We're going to have callers. I'm going to have guests from all areas of sexuality, people from the adult industry, the kink world, the poly community, sexologists, other sex educators, people who are activists, people from the GLBT community. I mean, it's really going to run the gamut. And we're going to have open, honest, intelligent discussions about sexuality. So I'm super thrilled.
Oh, that's fantastic.
My very first show, the show debuts on June 1st. And my very first guest is Dan Savage.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And we'll be talking about, you know, his troublemaking. I mean, he's constantly in trouble in the best way. But I mean, you know, he's always saying something that everyone's freaking out about. So I get to question him about all those recent freakouts.
Oh, you mean bullshit in the Bible?
Bullshit in the Bible. Precisely. We'll be talking about the Bible and bullying.
And all its bullshit.
Bullshit.
Excellent.
So people can go to voiceamerica.com. I'm on the Variety channel. They can also go to sexoutloudradio.com. And they can follow me on Twitter at sexoutloudradio.
Well, that is awesome, Tristan.
I'm really, really excited. I mean, you're going to be able to listen to it live. You can also listen to it on demand, and you can also later download it via iTunes. So I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to have something to do every week where I can interact. I mean, really, since I stopped writing my column for The Voice, I haven't had this weekly way to interact with people and also address the week's issues. You know, so when something breaks in the news or something comes up, I can do a show on it because I'm live and I'm on the air. And so that's really exciting to me as well. And of course, there's always such intense bullshit and hypocrisy around sex in our culture that there'll be plenty to talk about.
Oh, there will.
I, for one, am interested in listening to it just because I love hearing about... Well, I love hearing about all the bullshit that's going on because I like exposing it. And as you know, politics is a thing near and dear to my heart. So I'll be listening specifically for that.
Good, good. I mean, there's going to be plenty of sexy stuff, too. But I also think, you know, there's so much that the mainstream media doesn't cover because it's about sex or sexuality or porn or non-monogamy. And I really want to talk about that stuff that's off limits to the mainstream media. And because it's internet radio, I can do it totally uncensored.
Which is fantastic.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
So I've been working on it for a while. It's like my baby that I'm about to give birth to.
Yeah,
pretty intense around here.
And starts June 1st. That's fantastic.
It starts June 1st, which is right around the corner.
Yeah,
it is right around the corner. I can't wait to listen. I'm so fired up for you. I can't wait to hear your perspective on a regular basis. I'm really grateful for that. That's going to be so much fun.
Well, you guys have to start listening live. The first few shows are pre-recorded so that we could, you know, work out the kinks.
But we know how that is.
Yes, I know you know that. And so when we go live, you guys have to listen and call in.
Okay.
I mean,
oh,
so
nice.
Have these discussions on a regular basis. You know what I mean?
Oh, you won't be able to get us off the phone. You're going to get that wave from your producer. Beckett's on the phone again. And then you're just going to roll your eyes.
No, but everyone has, I mean, everyone who has longstanding shows has these regulars who call in. I love that. I would totally love that.
Well, we promise.
Okay, good.
Don't worry.
You said it now. You said it publicly. So it has to be.
Well, our listeners know that there is nothing I love more than the sound of my voice. So if the sound of my voice can interact with the sound of your voice in any way, I'm happy to make that happen. And I wanted to thank you, by the way. You made our Valentine's Day fantastic because of your pegging DVD.
Oh, let's talk about pegging.
Let's talk about pegging.
Woohoo! Let's talk about pegging.
One thing that was very cool is Marilyn and I were in Milwaukee last weekend, and we went to this toy store called The Tool Shed, which is of the Smitten Kitten mold, you know, a female-run, owned and operated, very ethical, very community-oriented. And their dildo section at the top had your anal sex book, your pegging book, your pegging DVD, and Bend Over Boyfriend. And so it was clear that they were emphasizing the pegging aspects of their dildo section. And I thought that was fantastic.
Merchandising in the mainstream world. But but that's kind of brilliant. You're saying, hey, listen, if you're into this, look no further than the next shelf.
Exactly.
Here are the great dildos for your ass. I love it. Laura is a friend of mine, the woman who owns and runs the Tool
great.
Shed.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not surprised. She has great taste and she's very smart. But this movie, The Expert Guide to Pegging, Strap on Anal Sex for Couples, just in case people still are not knowing what the word pegging means, you have to put in the subtitle. It's really one of my favorite movies. And I mean, partially, here's the thing. Every time I make another sex ed movie, I feel like I learn so much more. So I'm happier each time one comes out. I feel like this one's better than the last one. They keep getting better. But this one for me was really interesting because I did a movie before called The Expert Guide to Anal Pleasure for Men. And we had a lot of fun doing it. People loved that movie. I thought it was great. And I was happy with it. But the difference for me between that and the pegging video is that I think the pegging video is really hot.
Oh, yes.
Like, it is super, super scorchingly sexy and hot. And I don't always, after watching something 25, 30 times during the editing process, still feel that. You know, it's like, okay, right. And now the rimming, right. Keep going. Yes. And the blue butt plug. Yes. Keep up forward. You know, you've seen it a lot. Right. I still find this thing when I watch it so insanely hot. The chemistry between the performers, the orgasms, the strap-on action, like, it's all really hot. And that was a kind of a light bulb moment for me that this is not just kind of how to. This one really can be straight up porno inspiration.
It can. And that's, you know, I was watching it and we were thinking of whether or not you were consciously remembering something I said last time you were on our show. Because one of the things that Marilyn and I were talking about was that we wanted to be able to enjoy just the porn or the educational portion at a time.
Oh,
and so
right.
you have this wonderful educational portion that then gives way to porn.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we started out doing this, you know, when the series started in 2006, I started doing this thing where you could watch the scenes with or without instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that took advantage of the DVD format and worked really well up to a point. And then when everyone started watching things online and watching things just scene by scene and even downloading scene by scene, it would mean that you would have to buy two scenes.
Right.
Which didn't make any sense at all. So I really had to rework the formula so that I was getting what I wanted out of these videos, but that it was like way more user-friendly in the digital age, basically. Mm. So now I do this really long, extended upfront workshop, which has lots of images in it and examples and all that stuff. And then you just get right to the hot, hot sex. I mean, Dylan Ryan, how many orgasms did she have? It's still like mind boggling. At some point, I spoke to my editor and I said, just so you know, the scene is going to be 40 minutes. I know that's excessive. I know it's insane. But what can we cut out? Tell me something that sucks and we'll cut it. And he said, I can't. It was just, there was too much good stuff. Too much good stuff.
Well, no, it was fantastic. We both watched the vast majority of the porn portion that evening before retiring to our room to apply our knowledge. But one of the things, I know you blew Marilyn's mind.
What do you mean?
Because I don't know how she had not, but she had never considered getting her strap-on sucked.
Oh.
And her watching that scene with Jiz Lee just blew her mind. And,
yeah.
So you know, she says thank you.
That's another thing, too, is that I felt like we could, that Jiz Lee scene with Mickey Maude, there's a lot of gender play in that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like when I did the Expert Guide to Anal Pleasure for Men that my audience was ready to go there necessarily. I wanted,
that makes sense.
You know what I mean? I wanted this to be a gateway and I wanted everyone to feel comfortable and I didn't want anyone to freak out or have, you know, gender or sexual orientation issues while watching it. I was like, no, we're just going to be fun and do this. But of course, for some people, the fantasy of having a dick is having a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to explore that element of pegging, the gender play, in that scene, which I think is pretty racy for Vivid, just for the record. And it's also, again, it's just super hot. And I'm so glad that it opened a door that she didn't even know was there.
Absolutely. I mean, we were very excited to get it, and even more excited that we apparently got it before some of the performers.
Oh, yeah. You got, like, one of the first copies. I don't know how that happened. Yes, it's true. Sometimes people get my books before I get them. I'm like, really? People? I can't just get, you can't just give me the overnight shipping? Okay, no. Anyway.
But yeah, so thank you very much for that. And our listeners should definitely, if you have any inklings of interest in pegging and strap-on play, this is a wonderful introduction to it that takes you all around the potentially scary butt area. So don't be afraid.
Which in my hands is not scary at all.
Not no, scary at all.
That's what I'm told, that I can make anyone, you know, love it. Or at least be interested in it.
Now, does that specifically apply to you wearing the strap-on?
No, I think it applies to anything. I mean, I managed to convince, for example, Howard Stern when I was on his show. Mm-hmm. He was really hung up on this. Wait a second. There's a chapter on men receiving anal. I can't get into that. What are you talking about? He was like ready to just shut it down. And I said, listen, think of someone you really like giving you a blowjob and then sticking a finger in your ass. And he's like, okay, no, I could see that. Sure. I mean, he went with it. He went with it. So it's mm-hmm. like, if I can convince him to get a finger up his ass, you know, then
the sky is the limit.
World is my oyster. Yeah, there are no limits. Come on now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is there anything else you want to address before we wrap up, Tristan?
Gosh, I mean, people can find me at puckerup.com and they can order my books and my videos directly from me, which supports their, you know, favorite sex educator and feminist pornographer.
As you should, everybody.
I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/asktristan. And I'm on Twitter at Tristan Terramino. And then, of course, starting June 1st, sexoutloudradio.com with my very first guest, Dan Savage.
That is rocking. Oh, I do want to mention we're going to be seeing you at Open SF, which is June. Now I should have had this up, which is
June 8th through 10th, I believe.
And you're doing the keynote speeches, which is very exciting.
There's several keynotes at OpenSF, and I'm giving one of them on Saturday, I believe. It's June 8th to the 10th. I mean, there's a huge lineup of amazing presenters. And obviously, if you're going to have a conference about open relationships, having it in San Francisco is really a good idea. Plus, Peppermint is such a prominent member of the community and really has their shit together. So I have really high hopes for this conference. I think it's going to be fantastic. And I'm also teaching a fairly new class that I haven't taught a lot that people may want to take, which is called Partnering with Power. And it's all about negotiating non-monogamy within a dominant-submissive dynamic. Because there really are some unique issues that come up for not just kinky people, but especially people who play with power dynamics who are also in open relationships. So I'm teaching that workshop in addition to my keynote.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Well, we'll be there.
And we'll see you there.
And yes, and the swing set is uniting for the first time in one position, in one place.
In one position, eh?
In one position. In many positions in one location, yes. And so, yeah, we're very excited about OpenSF. Well, thank you so much, Tristan, for coming back on the swing set and regaling us with all your wonderful insights and personally analyzing my poly relationship. How many people get to have personal one-on-one? That's fantastic.
Lucky Cooper.
A Lucky Cooper is right. I am basking. So you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us on Twitter at swingsetlife, at Ginger N the Prof, at ShiraBeCats, at Dylan_swingset, and at Tristan Terramino. Email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can give us a call, leave us a message, leave us a voicemail, ask us a question, send us a text, all sorts of things. 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. So thank you guys for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
See, no one else ever knows what to say. You actually respond, Tristan. I like that.
The one time I responded, it was a little awkward.
It was awkward because he made it awkward.
I was just amazed that you got through the outro tonight. Dylan's very well behaved.
He is unusually well behaved. It makes me nervous. It usually means he's going to do something in editing. So I'm going to wrap it up before he has a chance. Thank you, listeners, for swinging by. So, guys, the Smitten Kitten is giving us something cool to give away. And I think it's because we've been talking kink a lot, but they seem to think we're a little kinky. And so they are giving us bondage tape.
Ooh.
Can I have it?
Yeah, I want
no,
it.
You are, I'll take it. Sorry. I do have to do that disclaimer thing that says that, you know, employees or co-hosts or their spouses and families are ineligible.
Our families.
Otherwise, you know, every contest we do, it would just be me giving you stuff.
Well, okay. In that case, tell me what bondage tape is.
Well, I that's a good question. We should look and see what bondage tape is.
It's sticky enough. It sticks to itself. And it's not, it doesn't like, it doesn't damage your skin.
It's a little stretchy too,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly.
So it gives a little,
well,
a little leeway.
It gives a little, but not enough. Oh.
not enough. So we have two rolls of bondage tape, and we want to give them away to two swing set listeners. And I think I'm going to give you until June 1st. And what I want to hear, and I think my panel wants to hear, is you leaving us a voicemail and telling us what you want to do with the bondage tape.
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be a scene. You don't have to, you know, have sound effects or other voices or anything like that. Just tell us why you're bondage tape situation is deserving of some free bondage tape from the awesome ladies over at the Smitten Kitten.
My bondage tape situation involves Dylan.
Oh.
Ooh. And his thighs.
I'll just leave it at that.
Excellent.
That is enticing, but you still can't win it, Ginger.
Damn it.
But I bet you Dylan is on his way to buy some right
yeah,
now.
Dylan yeah, would website, probably bring you some at OpenSF, so there, you got that to look forward to then. So listeners, give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 573-557-9464 and tell us what you want to do with the bondage tape and why we should give it to you. And I think our voicemail limit is somewhere around 3 minutes, so there's your challenge, under 3 minutes. And we will be the totally partial judges.
At least you own it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, if we like you more, you know,
that means listeners, make sure Cooper's included in this scene.
No, because no, that would be more of a fantasy. No, I want to know specifically what you're actually going to do with it.
Unless you are actually
going to use it with me, in which case, you know, if we don't have a prior relationship, it might be creepy. I don't know. I get squicked out. I'm like that. So if we do have a prior relationship and you're planning to visit Chicago and you want to include me in the bondage tape discussion, then you need to get it past the other three. So I'm not judging totally myself.
Deal. Okay.
So 573-557-9464 is the number. Give us a call and tell us why the Smitten Kitten's bondage tape should be in your next sexy bondage scene. When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use.
You want to put a picture on your page? You know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com.
Well, hello there, Life on the Swing Set cast and crew. This is Ravenheart, or MaceCC, depending on which of my accounts you happen to be sitting on at the moment. And I just wanted to say, holy collective unconscious same wavelength, Batman, because I just finished listening to, I think it's episode 67, with listener mail on the poly swing changeover kind of thing. And last night, I just posted what I usually post every year, my Ravenheart 4.0 manual, a la Cutting Minks of Polyamory Weekly, and was discussing how my husband and I have kind of moved into he's more poly than I am, I'm moving towards the friends with benefits kind of thing, and how that's negotiable, and was really going to be calling and asking questions from both you guys and Sheila over on her podcast, and voila, you guys have already talked about it. And I was literally sitting there, like, with my mouth open at work, like, thinking, oh, my God, I'm really that too big. So, in fact, so much so that Dylan said something, a line, that I actually even put into my Ravenheart 2.0. So, I just want to thank you guys for always being a step ahead of the curve and for being so open-minded that apparently I can tap myself right in. You guys have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.